Well, tonight, we're living in a time when it's kind of darkened. When you look at, if you would break things down tonight and look at America spiritually, you will see what I'm about to explain to you is absolutely right on. Our nation is involved in pornography. We're also involved with drugs, which is becoming an epidemic. We have tonight the homosexual movement, the lesbian movement, which is absolutely devastating and destroying the homes of millions. Drugs, alcohol. We have lying. We have murder. And you know what? It's absolutely pitch black looking at the scene of America. However, thank God, God can give a light. And that is us. In this darkened world, we don't go around doom and gloom, you know, because we are to be God's light in this darkened world. So would you all look at Matthew 5 and verse 16, please, with me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the wonderful musical program. We thank you, Lord, tonight we can come boldly to your throne. We need help, Father. We need your power, the guidance of the Holy Spirit to make known the Word of God. And so therefore, Lord, I'm asking for your help in Christ's name. Amen. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, the Word of God begins by stating, "Let your light so shine before men." As we observe this passage, I want you to notice the Bible talks about this light as a personal possession. It states, "Let your light." Now, whenever God saves a person, He gives you something. And by the way, this is the one thing that separates a man who knows Christ from the person who has religion. Because light is not found in a baptism, nor a confirmation, nor a catechism, but light is found in a person, and that person is God's Son. John 1:9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." In John 8:12, Christ said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So whenever God saved me, and God saved you, if you're saved, He gave you a personal possession. Christ came within our lives. But the second of all, the Word of God goes on to show us the primary purpose of this light. It states, "Let your light so shine." Now there is the primary purpose. Look, if all God wanted to do, save you, so you could go to heaven, then when the Lord saved you, He could have killed you and taken you on home. And by the way, when I got saved at the age of 17, just a few months later, I was almost killed. To this day, I don't know how my life was spared. I'll tell what happened. I was going up the road, going to work for the Fairmont Times newspaper company. I was a typist. I tell you, I was rejoicing in my salvation, a brand new convert. And I heard that song, "Onward Christian Soldiers," and that really struck a note in my heart. And I loved that song. So I'm going up the road, I'm whistling "Onward Christian Soldiers." Why was I whistling? Because I cannot sing. All right? I loved the whistle, so I was whistling "Onward Christian Soldiers." Well, in West Virginia, wherever you go, you got to cross railroad tracks. My dad's a coal miner. And I had crossed these two sets of tracks all my life. And so, I'm going up the road. I know the train schedule. My dad's a coal miner. And I was so happy. I'm whistling "Onward Christian Soldiers." I came to the first set of tracks. I didn't even slow down. And I, going right through the tracks, I looked up, whistling "Onward Christian Soldiers," and there was the engine right there. Now, to this day, congregation, honestly, I do not know how that train missed me. But I do recall this. It was like this. It was... I mean, how the train missed me, I do not know, because it was like that. I do recall this. I tried to whistle the next 7 miles, and all that came out was... Well, you know, the Lord could have killed me, taken me on home. And you know what, congregation? God could have killed you and taken you on home. He spared you for a reason. Why? Let your light so shine. God wants our lives to shine. You know something? We as God's people have lost sight of this. We've lost sight of the fact that God wants us to shine. And the problem I'm seeing nationwide in our local churches, we have thick notebooks. We know the Word of God. We are straight in our music, and I thank God for that. And we're right in our separation. However, we've lost sight of the fact that God has saved us for a primary purpose. Let your light so shine. Now, why isn't that so in the lives of so many of God's people? And the answer? So often, we take for granted the things of God. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that God gave the children manna from heaven to feed the children of Israel. Psalm 78:25 states, man did eat angels' food. God literally rained bread from heaven that angels eat. And they get what God said, and they would gather the manna off the ground day in, day out for 40 long years. But after a while, the Word of God says, the children of Israel began to gripe, murmur, and complain against God. Why? They took for granted the bread of God. You know, child of God, there's a danger of you people hearing the Word of God preached. You see, when you were first saved, you sat there. God stirred your life. God motivated you. But after hearing the Word of God over and over, now the Bible goes in one ear, out the other ear, and no longer does the Bible stir you. What's your problem? You've taken for granted the things of God, and that'll put up your testimony and your light like that. However, another reason why many cannot shine is because we allow small things to get in our lives that we never deal with. Minutes ago, my wife, Sharon, and I were reading. Now, by the way, Sharon has always been a very, very avid reader. She loves books. And so she was reading a book. I was reading my favorite page, the sports page in the newspaper. And so I put the paper down, and Sharon put the book down. And she looked at me, and she started going like this. And when she does that, I've either mispronounced the word, and by the way, congregation, with this crazy English language, I am always getting things backwards, okay? Please forgive me. Sometimes I really foul up royally. I really do. I'll never forget minutes ago when my boys were all home. I was preaching, and I was making a point, and I said, can't you see the stupidity? Well, it's not the word. Stupidity is the word. But my boys, I saw them, and they began to go like this, you know. And so I wanted in my mind those boys to know that I could say that word. So I backed up and I ran again at it. And I said, and can't you see the stupidity of it? I couldn't get that word out. And by that time, the boys are just, you know, going like this. They are laughing out loud. So often I get things messed up. And so I looked at Sharon and I said, what's the problem, honey? And she said, well, Jerry, you got some dirt on your face over here. Well, I said, well, Sharon, no, I don't. And her eyeballs got this big, and she said, well, Jerry, yes, you do. That's what, Sharon, no, I don't. And she said, well, if you don't think you've got dirt on your face, why don't you go and look in a mirror in the bathroom? I said, okay, I'll do that. I don't know why I was in that mood. I'm usually a very kind, gracious husband. All right. And so I walked in there, I turned the switch on, I looked in the mirror, and would you believe it, she was right. So guess what I did? I turned the water on as softly as I could. I got a washcloth and some soap, and I washed my face, and I came out there, and I said, honey, I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry, you were right. Was it hard for me to do that? Yes. Like in your life. You know, I don't know you. And thank God your pastor has not said one thing about any of you in this room to me, okay? If I knew you well enough, perhaps I could walk up to you and say, hey, you've got sin in your life. And you could say, well, no, I don't. And I could come back and say, well, yes, you do. And you could retaliate and say, well, no, I don't. And I could never convince you until you look in the perfect mirror of God's Word. And child of God, you got to realize something this evening. We've got to keep the life clean. We can't shine. Keep the light clean. The primary purpose. But third of all, look back in verse 16. For the Word of God says, let your light so shine before men. Now there is the public profession. You know something? It's so crucial that you as an individual realize that you've got to let your light so shine before men. You are the individual that God wants to be a light to your friends who are in darkness spiritually. You are the one that God wants to take the message and reach them for Christ. I'll never forget many years ago in South Carolina when I was starting this church. I was a senior in college at Bob Jones University. I was also building a new church. I was also teaching in the public school system, 7th and 8th grade, coaching football, and also in the wintertime, coaching basketball. And I'm in congregation. I was running nonstop in all of these different directions. And so one Saturday morning, I was in my office studying, and the Lord burdened my heart to go soul winning. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't go this morning. I've got too much to do. Now, congregation, now look, there's no audible voice, nothing like that. It's the Lord prompting my heart. And again, this unusual pressure from the Lord came upon me to go soul winning. And I was getting upset. I said, Lord, I told you I cannot go. And I'm telling you, congregation, it got so powerful in my life. I said, and I hate to admit this to you, folk. I really hate to admit this to you. I got in the car. I told Sharon, I said, honey, I've got to go soul winning. And I was really, I didn't want to go. And I got in the car, and this is even worse what I did. I got in the car, and I began to go down the road, and I said to the Lord, I said, out loud, I said, Lord, you want me to go soul winning so badly? Then show me where to go. Now, isn't that a wonderful attitude to have? And so I go Anderson, up to Anderson. And it's a long story, but it seemed like the Lord directed me to go down the street I had never been in on ever. And I go to a house, I knock on the door, a lady answered. And all I said was this, I said, ma'am, my name's Jerry Savinsky. I'm pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. And she looked at me and she said, oh no, did my neighbors call you up? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I know. My two daughters, they're the ones. They called you, didn't they? I said, no, ma'am. I said, why are you asking me all these questions? The lady began to cry. And these are the exact words she said. I have been up all night praying for God to send someone to my house today to tell me how to go to heaven. I walked in that house. That lady was probably in her early 60s. I sat down with the Bible. I showed her how Christ could save her. She immediately fell to her knees. She prayed, invited Christ in her life. I got in my car. I began to go home. I'm not embarrassed to tell you this. I was weeping so hard. I literally had to pull the car over on the side, turned off the ignition, and I prayed out loud and I said, Lord, help me never to lose sight of individual souls. You see something, congregation. There has to be a public profession. Now, sometimes we don't want to go, like I didn't want to go that day. And yet, I look back on that occasion as something that God put within my life. I've never gotten over it. My three boys are all evangelists. And every time I call my sons, every phone call to this day ends with, hey, Todd, Brent, Scott, don't lose your zeal for souls. Hey, congregation, I don't know your name, but I'm going to put it out right now to you. Hey, don't lose your zeal for souls. Why? There's a public profession. Let your light so shine before men. However, if you're on the night and you're unsaved, you need to realize something. There's someone who's going to make sure that you never, never come to Christ. Who is that? Well, the Word of God calls him the devil, Satan. And the Bible makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, the devil will try to keep you teenagers and you adults from ever coming to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Look here. You've heard the word of God. You know that Christ is the one who died on the cross for your sins. You know he shed his blood on the cross for one reason, for the sins of the whole world. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that big word, propitiation, literally means Christ shedding his blood satisfied the justice of God for the sins of the entire world. And know what? The devil will keep you from believing so you won't be saved. My friend, tonight, you don't realize the spiritual battle that goes on in your life. The devil says to you, you've got plenty of time. Wait. What about your sin? Are you willing to give up your sin? Are you sure? Don't you think you ought to weigh this thing heavily as a teenager? You're a young person. You've got a whole life ahead of you. You see, the devil will do his best to blind all of us. And my friend, tonight, you've got to realize only Christ is the one that can save you. You've got to come to him. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. The Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. In other words, so many people by the masses will reject God's divine lights. But you don't have to. You can come to him. and he would save your soul, and you would be thrilled for all eternity that you came to him. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.